It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes.
It is 4:06 on the Central Coast. It is a Thursday, March 26, 2020. I'm Dave Congleton. Hope you'll stick around. Lance Parker is going to join us at 5:05. We'll talk about the $2 trillion bailout. We'll hear from Lance. We'll hear from you. 6:05, Jack Keller is just back from New Zealand. He'll talk about his experiences over there and how New Zealand is responding to COVID-19. Just a second before we bring Susan into the conversation, the county just put out a press release. I'm not going to read it. But basically, they're clamping down on hiking trails and beaches. And I just take a second here to urge you, like me, you like walking on the beach, you like walking on the hiking trails, but you saw what happened last week at the Prismo Preserve. They just shut it down. So if you're going to go out and you're going to walk on the beach and you're going to walk on the hiking trails, They're going to start enforcing the social distancing. And if that doesn't work, I swear they're going to close this stuff down. And I'm going to be really angry at you if you cause this, okay? So please, I know it's a whole new world right now, but I don't want to lose our beaches. I don't want to lose our access to the parks. So keep that in mind, please, when you go out. Or, here's a segue, you can just stay in and read a good book. I know Susan Hoffman loves reading. Once a month, she joins us to talk about what she's been reading. She's here now. Susan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How you doing,
Susan? How are you?
I'm all right.
Oh, no,
how are you?
I ask you first. How are you?
I'm all right. But I have a job, so I'm okay. I get to
That's
come to
true.
Work. I have a job. I get to come to work. Now,
right.
You're at Cuesta, so they sent you home, I imagine, right?
Yes, I'm home for two reasons. One is I'm in that 65 and over group, so I've been isolating. That's been a really new experience for me, except for one little moment of going out to a store. I've been isolating, and then also Cuesta Library's closed, except for the computer lab inside. Some students need to use it, so mostly the campus is closed.
Does this mean more reading time for you?
Yes, it does. And I wanted to start out by telling you, and everyone who's listening that loves books, how healing reading can be. Yesterday, I was really anxious all day. I just couldn't settle down. Just news and people arguing with each other again about what to do and all of that. And so I haven't been sleeping very well, like I've been waking up, and I know I'm not the only one. It's like I haven't been able to sleep through the night. But last night, in preparation for talking to you today, and everyone listening, is that I spent a couple hours trying to finish one of the books I'm going to be talking about. I didn't finish it. But I was so involved in this book that I read for about 2 hours, and then I wanted to go to bed, and so I closed the book, and I realized that for 2 hours, I hadn't thought about the coronavirus at all. And for 2 hours, I wasn't worrying about anybody or thinking and processing what everybody was saying, and it was so wonderful, and I slept through the night.
Was that a great feeling?
I went to bed, and I slept through the night.
Was that a great feeling?
Yes, and I think it was because, like you just mentioned, I forgot what you just said, like this is the real world now. Or so another friend said, this is the new normal. But for 2 hours, I was in the 1950s. I was with these characters that seemed so real, and I was in another state, and I was in another story, and it was just so relaxing. I just think that's one of the reasons, like, I've been a lifelong reader, I think.
Well, don't people often read, Susan, just so they can escape into another world for a while?
I guess they do. I've heard people say different reasons why they like to read, and if anyone would like to call in and talk about that, I would like to hear reasons why people read.
Well, we'll get
some people read for entertainment. I've heard my friends say they read for entertainment. Some read for escape. I think I tend to read for literature. I just love words on a page because I still read printed books. A lot of my friends don't, but I still do. And I just love literature. I always have. And I just love reading. So I don't know. Some people are on vacation and they want to read not to work. And there's an incredible amount of reasons.
This is like that old Burgess Meredith episode of Twilight Zone, the guy who loved books and it was the end of the world and he was the only guy left, so he had all the time in the world to read.
I remember seeing that, but I haven't thought of that in a really long time.
And then he breaks his glasses and he can't read.
That's right. I remember that show.
Yeah.
I saw that.
That's what I think about today when people have been sent home. And I think, well, at least they've got all the time in the world to read if they're into reading.
Yes. And another, I'm trying to look for the upsides of things. The other thing that's happening is, it's a downside that the public library is closed. The libraries are closed. But I called them this week or last week. I can't remember because doesn't time seem really strange now, too, like what day it is and just time seems different. But anyway, I called them and I got somebody in the library, even though the library, downtown Slow Library, even though it was closed. And I said, hey, you know, I've got overdue books. I've got all these holes that I had placed. Maybe cancel all my holes because I don't know. I don't know when I'm going to be getting in there. And what do I do about the overdue books? And so the upside of this is that I don't have to return anything. I won't have any. I mean, there are no fines anyway, but I don't have to worry about any of that. I just get to keep all these books for as long as I want that I have checked out. So I'm very happy with that.
They don't want them returned right away. Huh.
I guess you could return them, but
since they're closed,
For me, I'm isolating, and so I don't really want to go and get out and drop those books in the slot, and then I don't know who's there, and then I have to Clorox, everything. So I'm just going to keep mine, but I don't have to worry about any of that.
And obviously the events you've been promoting the past at Cuesta College, those have all been canceled.
Correct. All the events at Cuesta College have been canceled, including, sadly, the Cuesta Book of the Year with Meredith May coming to the campus on April 22nd, and there was going to be an Earth Fair. The word that I got is that the events, all the community events, book club events, they've all been canceled. However, in the future, and I still believe in the future, there is a future, what they're calling it is postponed. So she's still interested in coming, so perhaps Cuesta Library will set another date for her to come.
All right, fair enough. Susan Hoffman is joining us. We're talking about books that she's been reading, books I've been reading, and perhaps books that you have been reading. We'll pick up that conversation when we come back. I'm Dave Congleton. You're listening to AM 920, FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC.
Every day, it's getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love like yours will surely come my way.
4:18 on Hometown Radio. I'm Dave Congleton. You know, I always see this on Facebook. Can anyone name a friend who has come down with COVID-19? Do any of you really know anybody who's had it? Well, I guess I do now because my friend Henry just posted on Facebook that he was diagnosed with it by Slo County Health. So I can honestly say yes, I know somebody personally who has been infected. Bottom of the hour is California Headline News. On a lighter note, we're talking about books with Susan Hoffman. She is an avid reader, and she supports her local libraries. What have you been reading lately, Susan?
Well, the first book that I wanted to talk about is called The Secrets We Kept, and it's the first novel by Laura Prescott, Prescott. So I first heard this author in November, and I was visiting my son in Portland, and I heard her speak, and as soon as I arrived back home, I placed a hole through the Black Gold library system for this book because it sounded really interesting. When I placed my hold, there were already 150 holes ahead of me, and I was pretty shocked. It took me several months to get this book. A lot of people have been reading it, and I knew nothing about it until I heard her. So I think you're going to find this really interesting. I didn't know that during the Cold War, the CIA used the term weaponized for books, weaponized books. And so this author, Laura Prescott, first of all, was named for the character of Laura. Her mother named her for Laura in the movie Dr. Zhivago. Huh. And I have to admit, I have never seen Dr. Zhivago.
You've never seen Dr. Zhivago? Holy cow.
No. What did you think of Dr. Zhivago?
It's a masterpiece.
I've never seen it. I've never read the book. I knew next to nothing about Boris Pasternak. I've never read his poems. I didn't know that 10,000 people would come to hear him read his poetry in Russia. So I knew none of this, and I learned a lot just listening to her talking about this book that she wrote. So anyway, her mother named her for the character Laura, and so that was always something in her family that everybody knew. And then she worked, she's a young woman, she worked as a political consultant, but she really wanted to be a writer. And so in 2014, the CIA, the Washington Post, there's a really great article online by the Washington Post, that about how the CIA declassified 130 documents having to do with weaponizing Dr. Zhivago and smuggling them into Russia and distributing them, trying to hand them out to various Russian people to create critical thinking and dissent with the Russian government. And so this author, Laura Prescott, decided to write a novel about this, and you may be interested in this, Dave. She sold the novel, but she sold the novel with only 25 pages written. And she received, then her agent sent it out for bidding, and she sold the book. The book sold for $2 million. So everyone found it really interesting. That's not to say that it's the greatest book ever written, but it's just interesting the way it came to be. And so anyway, this book, what she's doing is she did a lot of research, and so this book starts, I'll read you the first line of the book, but this book starts in the typing pool of the CIA in the early to mid 1950s.
And what's the name of the book Susan? What's the name of the book again?
The Secrets We Kept.
Okay.
And here's the first line of the prologue. We typed 100 words per minute and never missed a syllable. So what she decided to do is she did a lot of research, and then in her research, she also found that there was a typing pool of women who were typing up all these secret memos and documents. So she combined her research with fictionalizing all these typists just admiring them for their role in all of this. And so she tells the story of these typists, like there's different groups of characters in this, and this is my criticism of the book in a minute, but there's this group of typists, and in this pool of typists in the CIA comes these two fictional characters, Irina and Sally, and so as the book progresses, they turn out to be the ones who deliver this book, like, to the people who can hand it out and help hand it out and see that it gets handed out.
All right.
Let me
jump in here. We got Susan Hoffman on this broadcast. Let's talk to Alan in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Alan.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Susan. Yeah, hey. What I love about the books is you can have any kind of taste you want. There's always something out there. One I recommended before, and I can't recommend enough, is Tim Conway's autobiography, What's So Funny. The stories he tells about his life are fabulous. So I won't, I can even call it escapist. It's just great to see somebody and how they've lived their life. And how he can still make you laugh just by telling these stories.
We might call that a light, breezy read.
Yeah, yeah. You get the images as he's painting a picture. I love a good story to me. That image then pops into my head. I can really relate to that.
In fact, I believe Tim Conway was in Dr. Zhivago.
Okay.
He was?
No,
you weren't.
No. I was waiting to see what Dave was going to do with that one.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I mean, I've been getting into a lot of science fiction, and again, you can call it escapist, but you can, a good one will make you think about.
What's the last one you read, Alan?
Well, I'm reading a series. The author actually goes by a couple names, but I'll say Ian Douglas. I forget the other name he writes under. And it takes place about 400 years in the future, called Star Carrier. Just imagine an aircraft carrier kind of thing in space. And he does a lot of military fiction. I haven't read those yet, but he has good characters.
Yeah, that works for me.
Yeah,
Alan, good to hear from you. Thanks for the call. Susan Hoffman on this broadcast. The name of this book again that you're talking about?
And I could talk about this for a long time, so I'll keep it short.
Yeah.
The book is The Secrets We Kept.
It's the first novel. We got 90 seconds.
By Laura Prescott.
This is a first novel?
This is her first novel.
Wow. And she sold it for $2 million.
Correct, with only 25 pages of manuscript is what I heard. So, anyway, it's a really interesting read. It's about how Dr. Zhivago was weaponized. It's about Boris Pasternak. I really didn't know that much about Boris Pasternak, and she did a lot of research about Boris Pasternak and the writing of Dr. Zhivago and how he had a very interesting life. He was married, but he had a lover named Olga who lived about a mile away from him and his wife. She was his muse for Dr. Zhivago, and some say the character Laura was based on her, perhaps. It's a great love story, and they had a great love story, but he also won the Nobel Prize for Dr. Zhivago, and this whole narrative is in this novel as well, which I knew nothing about, which is that the Russian government refused to publish Dr. Zhivago.
Oh, yeah.
And an Italian publisher smuggled his original manuscript to an Italian publisher, and so Italy was the first one to publish it.
All right, here we go. We've got California Headline News, ABC Radio News as well. Check traffic and weather. Chat more with Susan about what she's reading lately. This is Hometown Radio.
Give me a kiss to build a dream on, and my imagination will thrive upon that kiss.
Tomorrow we're going to have our Pet of the Week from County Animal Services. We're going to enjoy the Pie of the Week from Lynn's. Like Greer Eubanks is coming in, so Craig and Greer and I will have the pie. Jordan Cunningham is going to join us, our state assemblyman. Cy Tenenberg will talk about what's happening with the military and coronavirus. On Monday, Matt Hoy wants gun stores kept open. We'll hear from him. We'll hear from you. We're here weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 on AM 920, FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC. We are back with Susan Hoffman. Every month she checks in with us and we find out the books that she has been reading. And one last time again, Susan, the book you talked about in the last segment was?
The Secrets We Kept. Laura Prescott is the author.
All right, so I was in Sedona last week. In fact, a week ago today, I was in Sedona. And we actually found an independent bookstore in Sedona. Who would have thunk that they still had such a thing as an independent bookstore? And I ended up buying not one, but two books, and one that I'll talk about briefly. I'm obviously a big movie fan, and I came across a brand new book about the film director, Sidney Lumet. People may remember Mr. Lumet. He directed Dog Day Afternoon and 12 Angry Men and Network. Last movie he did was Before the Devil Knows You're Dead with Philip Seymour Hoffman. He died a couple years ago. And I flipped through it and said, this is a book I want to read. It's by a woman named Maura Spiegel. And I'm already finished with the book, so I devoured it in about a week. 400 pages. Is that about right for you, Susan? 400-page book in a week?
No, I think I read much slower than you.
All right.
400 pages is a long book.
Yeah, but I read fast. Anyway, this book is very detailed, and you get a full sense of the life of Sidney Lumet, and he was certainly a colorful character. But my disappointment and my hesitation in recommending it is that it's really not about his films. So, like, for example, Dog Day Afternoon, which is probably his best film, she spends maybe three pages talking about it. 12 Angry Men, maybe four or five pages. And that's about it. And I found myself finding out probably more than I wanted to about his personal life, but I didn't find out all that I wanted to about his work as a director, which is what I was really hoping for. So Sidney Lumet, Life by Maura Spiegel, gets a mixed review for me. That, to me, would be a book you check out at the library. Is that a fair review?
Yes, that's a great review.
That's what I said on Amazon. It's very well written, very well researched, and you find out a lot about him. But I really didn't care about the fact that he was married four times. I didn't care that much about his father. I wanted to find out about his work because he was such a brilliant director. And at the end of the 400 pages, I still want to know. Anyway, that's what I thought. I'm curious about those of you who are joining us now. Have you been reading anything lately? We open up the phone lines and invite your phone calls for Susan, 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Have you been reading more lately if you've been at home and can't go out as much? If so, what have you been reading lately? I find, Susan, I'm reading more. I'm spending more time with books. That doesn't surprise me.
They're very comforting in their own way. And like I said at the beginning, it's definitely a way to relieve stress, just go somewhere else and be with people that are interesting to you, such as the book you read. He's interesting to you. So it's like you spent time with him in a way.
Can you translate this text, Greg?
I will try.
We have somebody who said this is a must-read book for music lovers. Here's the guy who wrote the song What a Wonderful World, and they send us the cover of the book, but my eyes are bad. I can't read that. I'm going to Craig.
I got to restart my program over here. I got nothing coming up.
The name of the book is What a Wonderful World. Okay. It's a biography, Bob, Thieles. I've never heard of this guy.
Me either.
So that's two biographies we have so far. And you have a fiction.
I was just thinking that. It's interesting that they're biographies. I read two fiction books. So the other book that I was going to talk about is Where the Crawdads Sing. It's by Delia Owens. And I've been hearing about this. I heard about this book for about a year. People that I knew kept telling me, you've got to read this book. You've got to read this book. But like so many of us, busy stacking those books up that we want to read, this is one of them. But I finally got to it this week, and actually this is what I was reading last night. I haven't finished it yet. It's one of those books I don't want to end. So I'm sure many people have already read this book. It also is this woman's first novel. She's written many nonfiction books, and actually she's a wildlife scientist and a zoologist. And I had heard of the book that she previously wrote, Cry of the Kalahari. She published that in 2014. So she's a nonfiction book writer. But this book is so beautifully written about nature. There are several things going on. One is a murder mystery. The thing that is going on in this book, too, that was in the previous book is, do you find, Dave, that fiction books tend to jump around in time, jump back and forth in the narrative? So this book, Where the Crawdads Sing, starts out in the 60s, where a body is discovered that's been murdered. This is set in North Carolina, and it's a beach town and marshes. So it starts with a murder mystery, but then it goes back into the 50s to the childhood narrator or childhood narrative of a character named Kaya, who's 7 years old when her story starts. And so it tells a story woven together of how she was abandoned by her mother, she was abandoned by her father, they were dirt poor, living in a shack back in the marsh. She was nicknamed Marsh Girl. And so anyway, she is growing up, so it's a coming-of-age story. It's a murder mystery. It's about nature, she's raising herself alone. And so who she's communicating with are the birds or the sea creatures. And this woman can really write well. Where Laura Prescott, I would criticize for the writing not being that well done, but telling a good story. But this woman is telling a good story, and the writing is really good.
So I come back to the book that was texted in, What a Wonderful World, is the biography of Bob Thiel. And he was an important figure. He was an American musician and music producer. And he was around from 1922 to 1996. And he's responsible for the hit What a Wonderful World. So that's what that book was about. But on your point about fiction jumping around, my argument there, Susan, is that that's the influence of film. And people who write fiction now have either been influenced by film or they think that the readers want that. So it's nonlinear. And a novel will now jump all over the place, which is one of the reasons I switched over to nonfiction.
Well, I can relate to that because I find it really hard to follow, especially like in a complex story like The Secrets We Kept. It was not only jumping around in time, but she chose to tell the story from so many different characters' points of view that I would start a new chapter and I did not know who was speaking. I did not know which head I was in. It's like you're in the head of 10 different people. And this is Where the Crawdads Sing is a much more simple narrative. There's only two main time zones, years. But it's still confusing for me.
But you recommend it?
I do. I recommend both of these books. I definitely recommend people read both of these books. I just have some problems with craft. A lot of people don't even pay any attention to craft, but I am tuned in to craft issues and trying to figure out while I'm reading, like, why is this person telling this story this way? I know most people don't read that
way, but
I do.
Here we go. Off the Stolberg Law KVC text line, listener wants to know, what are we supposed to do with the libraries closed? How do we find our books now?
Well, I was just looking on their webpage today. If you go to their webpage, they, like Cuesta Library, like all the libraries, I would imagine, are online. So you can read full texts of books online, and I looked at their webpage today, and they have a place where you can click on that and, I guess, search for what you want to read and read it online.
That's not reading a book. I'm sorry. That's reading online.
A lot of people would argue with us.
No,
that's not how a lot of people read.
A book is something you put in your hand. You read online, that's a whole different function.
Right. But anyway, the library is making books available, but they're online.
You can't curl up with your computer. Craig, what are you saying?
I got a book I just got in the mail yesterday, and I'm looking forward to reading. I just started the page.
What'd you get?
Thucydides, History of the Peloponnesian War.
Really? I want to hear more about that. Let's get if you want to end the conversation, join us. 805-543-8830. 800-549-5832. Back on the phones we go. We have got Beverly on KVEC. Hi, Beverly.
Yeah, great program. I'd just like to weigh in.
Sure.
And like many of us, millions of us were working at homes, school, homeschooling our children, teens, and what have you. But there's nothing that I love more than reading. And we actually have a little library, a music room in the house. And the last couple of weeks have been able to read more than probably the last couple of months. But I did finish a book I really enjoyed. It's titled We Never Asked for Wings. And it's by, and the author's name is Vanessa Diffenbrod. I think I pronounced that right. And many of the callers or listeners may have read Running with Scissors.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I love that book. And it's kind of along those lines. Good time to read now, and hopefully we'll get through everything, and prayers out to everyone and all. But thanks for this program.
Well said, Beverly, and thank you very much for listening. All right, Craig, what's this book you're reading?
Thucydides. It's his book that he wrote, The History of the Peloponnesian War.
And what makes you want to read this? Are you a military history guy?
I love military history. I have a buddy of mine who's a military historian, and we would just talk all the time about different things. And just constantly, this book is always being brought up, or at least the Peloponnesian War is being brought up. There's a reference to it in the movie Patton, when he talks about the battle scene, the battleground. And I've heard other people reference it, and I'm like, you know what? I just want to read this book. Every time I hear somebody reference something over and over, I finally got to learn about it.
Any reaction to that, Susan?
I also like to read history, and actually, I mean, that just sounds daunting to me to read what you're going to read, Craig. It sounds really interesting. I like historical fiction. Many of the books that I read are historical fiction, so I also like to learn about history.
Off the Stolberg Law KVC text line, listeners recommending Before We Were Yours by Lisa Wingate. Anybody know anything about that one?
No.
No, I would like to know more about it if that listener wants to call.
Or
I'd like to hear about it or text.
We'll give Susan some homework and she can investigate it. Susan Hoffman is here. We're talking about what she's been reading lately, what you've been reading lately. We'll come back for a final segment. I'm Dave Congleton. We're live. We're local. This is Hometown Radio. Top of the Arts, ABC Radio News. Then we have a conversation with Lance Parker. We're in our final segment with Susan Hoffman. She joins us once a month to talk about what she's been reading. We have some other text messages coming in on the Stolberg line. Susan, first listener is reminding us of these little neighborhood free public library stands. Do you have any of those in your neighborhood? What do you think of those?
I love them. I look at all of them. They are in my neighborhood. There's many, many in my neighborhood. It's a family neighborhood.
Let's see. A nonfiction book I can highly recommend is Ghostwriter by Neil Peart, the recently deceased drummer for the band Rush. It details the tragedy and a subsequent healing process he experienced in the late 90s when his daughter died and his wife passed away 6 months later. That's got to be pretty intense. A great book for anyone dealing with loss.
Sounds good.
See,
a lot of nonfiction.
We get a lot of nonfiction. We got a nonfiction crowd here. I like it.
We do.
All right. If you want in on this conversation, phone lines are open 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. If you want in the conversation, we need to hear from you now, please. We're just curious about if you've been going to read books lately. The other one I want to mention is the second book I picked up in Sedona. This is by a guy named David Thompson, T-H-O-M-S-E-N, who's an amazing writer. It's called Sleeping with Strangers. It's just about the history in Hollywood of the way sexuality is portrayed on and off the screen. So let's talk to Marilyn on KVEC. Hey, Marilyn.
Hello, David.
Hi, Marilyn.
I just ordered a couple books. They're called Manners Can Be Fun.
Manners Can Be Fun. Okay.
By Monroe Leaf. It's for children.
Oh.
And it was popular when my children were young and is still available. I just ordered it through Barnes & Noble.
Have you heard of these, Susan?
No, I haven't, but I'm so excited that Marilyn called.
Oh, great. We have a Marilyn groupie. Oh, dear.
I'm a fan of Marilyn. Oh, hi, dear. Marilyn. I'm so glad you called.
Oh, dear.
Well, it's nice to talk to both of you.
Well, hang on.
I just thought this. What?
Marilyn, is Barnes & Noble open?
Well, I just called in and ordered it on the phone from Barnes & Noble here, and they sent it to my house. This was a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
But I assume you can still order them that way.
You ordered a couple of weeks ago and you still haven't gotten it?
No, I have them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it's Manners Can Be Fun. And Monroe Leaf is that cartoonist. So it's very entertaining for the children as well as teaching them manners.
We haven't talked about that at all, Susan, the idea of people just getting books for their kids.
Yeah.
Yes, reading to children is very comforting, and so the more you can read, the better it is, and as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So children's books are very interesting to me because I always read to my children and grandchildren a lot. And so that's it for now.
All right, Marilyn, thank you. 805-543-8830. 800-549-5832. We're getting you to try to turn off Netflix and go read a book. I want to come back to what you were saying earlier, Susan. When you turn off the TV and you pick up a book, it's calming.
It's very calming. And I just thought of one other thing, is if people who are listening are home with families or taking care of grandchildren, it's a great thing to do as a family. To have one person read a book aloud to the family, or for children to take turns reading aloud, it's good for everybody, and it's just something to do together.
Or to do a book report. Do a family book report. Okay,
well,
Susan, read the book,
discussion.
And at dinner time, we're going to talk about this book. You're going to read it and lead the discussion.
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway, this book,
not exactly a book report, but
something like that. The book I was talking about, Sleeping with Strangers by David Thompson, just goes through the history of Hollywood. I'm just barely into it, but already I can see that this guy is a better writer and a better storyteller than the book about Sidney Lumet. I'm going to take my time and savor this one. What's next on your list, Susan?
Well, I wanted to mention briefly the Honey Bus, just because people were looking forward to hearing her and having discussions about it. And I just wanted to say that if you go to MeredithMay.net, it's MeredithMay.net, her site is so good. There's a book trailer, which is she's in it, but there's also her bee blog, which is so interesting, and she just writes about the bees and about herself, and there's a wonderful interview about the Honey Bus, how she chose to tell the book in three voices, the voice of her child, because it's about her childhood. It was a very difficult childhood, but her grandfather saved her by teaching her how to become a beekeeper, which she's done all her life. So it's told from three voices, child, her adult, and then her voice now. So I wanted to share that she, in the interview that I read with her on her website, she hoped that what would be communicated are life lessons. And the ones that I think that we can use now with what's going on now, she wrote that the life lessons of the bees becoming her family when her own family wasn't available to her, she learned by becoming a beekeeper how to pay attention, how to remain calm, how to move slowly, and how to connect to nature. And I think all of those are things that can help us relieve our stress, relate to our families and our friends, and just remain sane and calm while all of this goes on.
Final text I'll squeeze in. Listeners saying to you, Susan, if you like Crawdad, you will love Before We Were There, Theirs. It's based on a true institution that was closed only in 1960.
Oh, that sounds interesting. And I've also heard that Where the Crawdads Sing is compared to the writing of Barbara Kingsolver. So for everyone who likes to read Barbara Kingsolver, this would be a good book for you.
I love Barbara Kingsolver. Susan Hoffman, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk again next month.
All right. Thanks for inviting me.
All right. Susan Hoffman checking in. We're going to check with ABC Radio News. Craig's got traffic and weather. Up next, Lance Parker reacts to the $2 trillion. Is it giveaway, bailout, whatever you want to call it? Let's talk about it.